you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast with myself and Luis J. Gomez. We've got Brian and Mike Harrington somewhere. We don't know if Harrington is here. We don't know if he's alive. We don't know what the status is. But I would say, Luis, I would start with, hey, how you doing? You know, that general bullshit that we do. But if anybody, unless you've been sleeping under a rock and unless you live in like a tiny little village somewhere in the United States of America, I don't think you have villages, but a small town, bumfuck middle of nowhere town, you know what's going on. The world is on fire. 2020 is absolutely fucked. Luis, I guess I'll say it. How you doing, bud?
I've been better, Mike. You know, coronavirus shut down society for a long time. Now there's cops murdering people on the streets. Now it's turned to looting and rioting. Cities are burning. And on top of all, to be honest with you, I could probably get past all of that and do a good show with you. I mean, I'm a professional. I've been podcasting for a very long time. I'm probably over a decade now I've been doing podcasts. You know what I can't get over?
Go ahead. Listen. Yeah, this is great podcasting, by the way, but I do hear it. It sounds like when I'm a kid, I got to say, when I would hear the ice cream truck coming in as a kid, I would run out of the house super excited. Mom, give me 20 pence, give me 20 pence. But I'm assuming you're going to say that when you're doing a podcast, it's annoying. Before you get into that, I'll tell you what else is annoying. People on YouTube may have just seen me messing with my phone. Yeah, because I don't know what's going on upstairs either. Sounds like fucking World War III, although World War III seems to be looming at any moment time. Lucas is fucking moving around furniture up there, so I just had to send a text. But the ice cream truck, Lewis, give me your complaint.
I don't know. It's never parked directly outside of my fucking window before, and it's driving me wild. We started the show late. I'm sitting there. I was like, guys, just give me a few more minutes. Let's just let this ice cream truck pass. I want to throw things at him right now.
Maybe they think you want an ice cream. Have you ever thought of that? Maybe they're like, you know what? I've seen that Puerto Rican rattlesnake knocking about. He looks like he needs cheering up. He looks a little miserable these days. I'll tell you what, let's park outside his house. We'll blaze the music until he comes out and say, hey, baby boy, we got you a free ice cream, sprinkles and everything.
It's driving me fucking wild. And by the way,
it's actually pissing me off, actually.
It should be pissing you off. It's fucking nightmare. I'm almost saying, hey, maybe we should pause and give it 15 minutes because I don't know if I can get over the fact that this ice cream man, it's right there.
Go outside and tell him, listen, not only are you the ice cream truck annoying yourself, oneself, say, it's annoying my partner who lives in fucking California. That's how loud the sound is.
I have an idea. Why don't I go into the sign? I can on Zoom right now, go with my phone. I'll go and ask him to leave on the show and see if I can convince him to leave.
Do it. Do it.
I'll do it right now.
That'd be genius footage.
You think I'm going to do it?
I want to see it.
I'm doing it right now.
I want to see it.
Fuck it. Brian, sorry. Can we watch it?
Will we be on the call? On the call?
Yes. We'll be on the call.
This is what we do in this. This is, listen, there's a lot of things that need like investigative journalism right now, okay? People need to be out on the street stopping the looters, the rioters, the injustice that is happening throughout the world. But first and foremost, without further ado, we got to deal with this fucking ice cream terrorist. He's an ice cream terrorist.
This is probably how my dad died. I don't know the whole story, but he was probably going out there to tell an ice cream man to move his truck and he was doing something and then it ended up with him being murdered.
There's a movie in England, a British movie, where the ice cream dealers, the drug dealers, they are masquerading as ice cream sellers. You know what I mean? So they go there, they pull up as ice cream, selling ice cream, but they're selling drugs out the back. So watch yourself, Lewis. We don't need another generation of the Gomez's getting stabbed.
That's true. All right, here we go. Let's go, guys. We're doing it. Here we go. All right, okay. Brian, do you have this other?
I got you.
Here we go.
Okay. All right. I don't want to see your face. Spin the camera around so we can see where you're going.
I will.
I want to take a look at the inner workings of the Gomez apartment. The stairs, the lift, the elevator, whatever you want to call it. I want to see this guy. Oh, nice floor. Like that. Looking good.
Wait, I shouldn't go out with slippers. Because if I go
just
out with
slippers, listen, we want to get on with the show. So however you want to go out there, just pronto. Speed it up, buddy. 10-4. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I am on my way.
Okay.
All right, hold on. I got to go to my face for now. Chris, anyway, how are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic. I'm great. I was looking forward to a great show today. I want to send a strong political message. I want to talk about the inequality going on in the world. But no, fuck all of that. Fuck the inequalities. Fuck the racial divide. Fuck the coronavirus. Fuck what's going on. We're going to war with an ice cream truck driver live on air. I want a word with this guy. I am going to have a very strong word in his ear.
Can I say I'm not going to war. I'm going to ask him very nicely if he will move his truck.
I want to know what you call very nicely. This is going to be interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Lewis, and be yourself. Don't tone it down.
Where is he? I'm going to be myself for sure.
Yeah. Pretend that he's a taxi driver and he's making you late for work.
He is making me late for work. This thing, we're supposed to be doing a fucking podcast right now, and I got to go and talk to him.
We are doing a podcast. It's a little unusual. It's a little off the wall, but nonetheless, you know, Brian is recording.
I think he's already leaving. Look, he's on the corner. It looks like he might be turning.
Wave him down. Say, listen, you can't stop here ever again.
Sir, I have a question. So I'm doing my podcast right now. This is so loud. It's just coming right in my window. Is there any way you could just go across or to another block? I said I'm doing a podcast right now. It's actually with, I don't know if you want, do you watch UFC? UFC? No, it's Michael Bisping, former. He doesn't give a fuck, dude.
He's like, fuck that guy. I never liked him anyway. In fact, I'm parking, in fact, two trucks next week.
I was like, you watch UFC? He goes, who's that, Dana White? I was like, it's Michael. He goes, have you ignored me?
Lewis, you're not very tough. You make out like you're a tough guy. You made out like you were going to handle this situation.
He's parking. He's doing his job. I respect his business.
Get me an ice cream, at least. Don't come back empty-handed.
I just realized I don't have any money. I would love to get an ice cream right now. At the very least, if I get chumped out by this guy, me coming back with an ice cream cone would be the only positive benefit.
All right, listen, whatever's going on, just get back to your computer pronto. Come on, let's go. We got shit to talk about.
I'll turn it down. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
See, look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the approach. Be polite.
He didn't do it for me at all. He is ignoring me, and as soon as I walk away, he's going to turn it back up. It's going to be a problem. Now I'm getting angry. But I'm going to walk away. It's his right.
Yeah, walk away. Walk away. The manager, hey, coronavirus. Everyone's struggling, okay? Those stimulus checks, they only go so far, okay? That's out the window straight away. He's trying to earn an honest living, Lewis. You could have dealt with it. You know, we could have put that to one side. I could zone it out. No issue, no problem, okay? He's an entrepreneur. You think you got it bad? Both of his parents were stabbed. In fact, he never knew his parents, okay? He's an illegal immigrant. He was found in like a little nappy just floating in the ocean. But this man is the American dream. It might not be a lot to you, but that ice cream van is everything to this man. And there it is, and he's providing for his family, okay? He's selling one ice cream at a time. He's making dreams, and you are out there trying to shit on his dream. Lewis, just get back on the computer. Let's do this. Come on.
I'm coming. I'm on my way back. I'm going in. This is fucking seamless. This is actually one of the best podcasting bits we've ever done. I went live under the street and asked an ice cream man to move his truck.
And I've got to say, your audio never sounded any better.
All right, so anyway.
Next week, when the gardener comes, I'm doing the same thing.
It's great. We should all go out into our neighborhoods daily and interview our neighbors.
That's what people really want to hear. Never mind Tyrone Woodley, Gilbert Burns. Never mind the tragic loss of life that happened last week. Never mind these crazy riots. We want to hear from the neighbors, the gardeners, the ice cream man. Okay, are we good? Are we situated?
I'm back.
Log in.
I never logged out.
Woo. Okay. Can we start the show properly now?
All right, I'm back. Whew. God, I'm fat.
I'm going to say, there's no way you've been running 30 minutes every day. You walk down to the ice cream man and you're out of breath.
My knees started hurting after day 12. I woke up in the morning and both of my knees were hurting. Mm. And I couldn't run that day. And then I haven't been able to motivate again.
Amino energy. That's all you got to do. The naked energy from Naked Nutrition. I'm telling you, bro, that shit will set your life on fire. Anyway, so we're good. We can start. You're happy, situated, you're cool.
You don't hear the ice cream truck anymore, do you?
I don't hear it. You handled it. Lewis, be proud of yourself, buddy. I am so proud of you. You had a problem and you fixed it. You
didn't raise. I name-dropped.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. You know, you got to do what you got to do in this life. All right. Listen. As we know, as I said at the start, and we can't approach this from a comedy angle. Unfortunately, it's not something we can be particularly upbeat about it. We saw what happened with George Floyd last week. As I say, unless you've been under a rock, everybody's seen it. Absolutely, utterly disgusting. It's a hard video to watch, seeing the policeman slowly taking a man's life. And then when the guy was unconscious, he didn't make any attempt to move. The other police involved made no attempt to stop it. So as far as I'm concerned, they're all accessory to murder as well.
I agree. You or I, if Michael Bisping were, because this could happen, if we were out at a bar, who knows, drinks are being drank quickly and we're all in, who knows, crazy spirits. Michael Bisping, somebody gets in his face. Next thing you know, Michael Bisping is murdering somebody with his bare hands. If I just stand there and watch it happen, I am an accessory to murder. If I do not step in and try to get my friend to stop doing that and for 8 minutes, and I think cops should be held to a higher standard than you or I. You and I, we're regular people. We're civilians. Cops they're hired to protect and serve. They have special training. They should know. And it's like, forget just murder. It's like, this guy should be held to a way higher standard and get the absolute full extent of the law.
Oh, I totally agree. In fact, I saw a meme yesterday. It might have been a meme or a Twitter post. And somebody said, I forget the exact wording, but it was along the lines of a civilian with no training whatsoever, right, reacts badly in a situation and ends up getting shot. More often than not, it's an African-American or a black individual. But the cop that has years of training, I'm not summarizing this very well, but the cop that has years of training and is trained to deal with these kinds of situations, not talking about the George Floyd thing, I'm just talking about shootings, you know, when the guns start popping off in general. Civilians are held accountable for it, but the cops that have training, they seem to get away with it for some fucking reason. But back to the George Floyd thing, I mean, I could have believe it. I watched that video. It was, I'm just lost for words. I'm saddened. I'm shocked. My thoughts and sympathies, condolences, prayers, whatever you want to say, it goes out to him and his family and everybody involved. And I mean, there's a much, much bigger issue at stake now. I was watching CNN last night before I went to bed, and it went through and listed only the high profile ones, but all the high profile cases going back to 2010 or even earlier, I think it was, where police have murdered, you know, an African-American. And it was just shocking, the circumstances. I forget the names. I apologize. There was a 16-year-old kid in there. And
even if you had the list of names in front of you, I would love to watch you try to pronounce all the African-American names.
Going off the point a little bit, Lewis, you know what I mean? Going off the subject. And, you know, listen, I've got some black friends and I've spoken to them since then, like my good buddy Roy Hibbert. You know, he's one of our partners in Playline, obviously a former two-time NBA All-Star. And he was texting yesterday saying, yeah, for sure, anytime he's been pulled over by the police, he's scared, he's worried, you know, and I'm sure a lot of African-Americans are, and shit has to change. Not only does that have to change, but what happened there in Minneapolis is just fucking utterly disgusting. And any cop out there that does that, that is complicit to that, that is accessory to that, that turns a blind eye, you're a piece of shit. I hope you fucking burn in hell.
Yeah, I agree. And it is a very sad thing. I grew up just a Puerto Rican kid amongst poverty. And you know, all my friends were either Hispanic, black, or really poor white kids. And we, you know, we were constantly in trouble with the law, and we were constantly, you know, we were stupid kids. And luckily I never had to deal with any real brutality, anything beyond a cop just being a dick. But I also don't want to sit here and, you know, I think it's like, I do believe that it is a real problem in this country. I do. But at the same time, it's like, I think with emotions running so high, you know, I think there's better ways that we can handle that than going out and causing more destruction and more, you know, just more violence. And it's whether it's from, whether it's, you know, from the police or from the other side or whatever it is, it's like, I just look at what's happening right now. And I don't know, if I had a friend that was going to go out and protest, I'd be like, dude, just really be careful. Don't go out there and do anything stupid. Don't go out there and destroy property or possibly put yourself at risk to get shot by the fucking cops. You know, have somebody that is trying to protect their business show up with a sword. It's all crazy and it's ugly. And there's no right or wrong. And to be honest with you, there's no answer. There seems to be this thing.
Go ahead, there is a right and wrong. There's clearly a right and wrong. I know what you're saying regarding the looting and the violence and that type of thing. We'll get into that in a second. But there's certainly a right and wrong when it comes to the police and how they fucking treat people and control people and the injustices that continue to happen to African Americans or black people or any kind of minority all over the world. That shit has to stop in the year 2020. Listen, this is coming from me, a white man, an English white man that to Americans have a hoity-toity accent, you know, so this is coming from me. So I can't pretend for 1 second to understand, right? Listen, you know, I grew up in a loving family, you know, money was tight, whatever, but, you know, I can't pretend for 1 second to understand, but I can empathize and I can see that shit has to change, of course. And I understand that people are angry, people are pissed off, and, you know, they feel that this is all they can do. They've got to make some noise in regards of whatever it is, they've got to make some noise. Not going out there and trashing where they live. You know, it's not the answer. Setting fire to buildings is not the answer. Any of these closed-minded individuals that already have these ridiculous mindsets, this unfortunately is only going to even perpetuate that more, right? You know, it's going to create a bigger divide. And those motherfuckers that are going out there looting, what the fuck is that all about? That's not helping anything. And they're assholes. They're just people that are taking advantage of the situation. I don't know if I'm wrong there. I'm trying to say the right thing, but it seems to, I mean, for God's sake, I saw a video of Logan Paul, who's a white guy, who's a multimillionaire from YouTube of all fucking things, breaks into a mall in Phoenix, Arizona, or Scottsdale, pardon me, and they're out there having fun and they're filming it for YouTube content and just reveling in the whole situation. People like that should be fucking ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, that's borderline racist. That's like you're going out there and you're looting and breaking things and you're smiling and laughing and you're making content out of it. That's just garbage. And to be honest with you, a lot of people live in that world where they love to get online and they love to have an opinion and everybody just wants to be right. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know that there's a right answer. And that's what I was saying before. It's like, I don't think you or I have the answer. I know you and I don't have the answer. That's the truth, right? But I think that, look, in 2020, I gotta say,
I don't have the answer to my own problems, let alone what's going on in the world right now.
I am Puerto Rican. I am brown, right? And in 2020, I feel like things have gotten substantially better, even in my lifetime. In 38 years, I know that 30 years ago, I mean, I remember, like, dude, I grew up with real racism. The kids in my neighborhood were fucking straight up racist pieces of shit. They would play. They would play hunt the N-word and I would always be the N-word and they would literally be like manhunt and they would just be the one brown kid. All these white kids would just try to find me and then they beat me up all the time. They would throw rocks at me. It was a really poor, mainly white neighborhood with a few little brown kids that were sort of scattered throughout. So there was a lot of racism and I dealt
with
it
firsthand. Sounds like you grew up in a nice neighborhood, buddy.
It was actually pretty nice. I was really striving to be as white as possible. And I do think we have come a very long way. You know, and
sorry to cut you off there. We've come a long way in terms of understanding what is right and wrong, but we haven't come a long way in terms of the people that are behind closed doors still have those prejudices, that still have those negative views towards any kind of minority, right? I think as a society,
I think we have come a long way though, because
maybe we have. I mean, Jesus Christ, last week I was watching, funnily enough, and nothing to do with any of this. I was laid in bed. I was looking for something to watch on Netflix. And there's Django Unchained, right? So I'm like, oh, shit. I haven't seen that in years. I saw it when it first came out. I remember it being a good movie. Put that on. And Rebecca and I just got talking, saying, holy shit, look at this. Because realistically, that wasn't that long ago. What was it? Mid-1800s, something like that. And the slavery was just fucking disgusting. So you're right, Lewis. Compared to times like then to now, of course, society has come a long way.
That's extreme. But I'm saying in the past 20 years.
It's not extreme. That's how it was. So yeah, you're right to your point. Let me finish my point real fast. From there to now, yeah, we've come a long way. But there's still a lot of people behind closed doors in private that still have these negative thoughts, these negative conversations that use words that are fucking racist. So in that regard, we haven't come a long way.
Yeah, but you're never going to get rid of that. I mean, look, here, I'm just telling you my perspective as a brown person. I understand your perspective.
I think we will get rid of that in generations to come. Say your point.
I'm sorry. Literally, I'm the only brown person here, and every time I try to talk about this, all the white people keep on cutting me off. I'm like, no, you don't know what
Let me tell you what it's like to be brown.
It's psychotic behavior right now. I want to point this out. Hey, Mike, let's quickly thank Ridge Wallet. I love my Ridge Wallet. It's the wallet from the future. We've talked about it for so long on the show now. Your old wallet sucks. The wallet that your grandma gave you for Christmas in the 11th grade, nobody wants to see that hunk of shit anymore. It's not sexy. It's not sleek. It's not futuristic. It is not the Ridge Wallet. The Ridge Wallet has 12 different styles. It's two metal plates that are banded together. It is designed to be minimalist. You put your credit card, your ID in there, a little bit of cash in the money band. It looks so cool. Every time I pull out my Ridge Wallet, I see women look at my wallet and they're like, oh my God, this guy must be very important.
No, they're looking at you with they're concerned. Okay, they're thinking this guy looks suspicious, right? It's nothing to do with your skin tone, you know. Given the current conversation we're having, they're like, this guy Lewis is a dirty bastard. That's what they're looking at. But I'll tell you this: if you do pull that Ridge Wallet out, they're like, no. Turns out this man is obviously a success because he's got the most futuristic carbon fiber aluminium wallet I've ever seen. Look at him; he doesn't acquire the nonsense, the fluff, the junk, the receipts, all those types of things that you don't want. He doesn't have any of that. And let me tell you, if you're a fashion forward guy like myself, you're not wearing baggy jeans. Oh no, you're wearing a nice European style fit. Okay, some may call them skinny jeans. I don't wear skinny jeans, but I do like a nice tapered fit. If you've got one of those big fat chunky wallets, it's sticking out. You've got a bulge, but not in your penis area, on the side pockets. You're gonna look bizarre. And also, guess what? There's a lifetime warranty with it. I guarantee any wallet out there, right, it's not going to last you a lifetime, and they're not going to give you a lifetime warranty. Ridge Wallet, they do. Ridge Wallet, 30,000 five-star reviews. Ridge Wallet comes in titanium, carbon fiber, aluminium, and over a dozen different styles. All jokes aside, tremendous piece of technology, tremendous wallet. You will not regret it. Lewis, give them the offer.
So right now, go to ridge.com/BYM. And if you use the link in the episode description, make sure you use the promo code BYM, because the Ridge Wallet, with Father's Day coming up, this is the perfect gift. Go buy one right now. You're going to spend a little bit of cash, but guess what? You get to save a little cash. Like usual, we save you some cash. Use that promo code BYM, ridge.com/BYM, and you're going to save 10% off your order. Buy 10 Ridge Wallets. Then you can actually get a free Ridge Wallet if you really do the math on that. It's pretty awesome. Ridge.com/BYM. Once again, promo code BYM. Go grab a Ridge Wallet. All right, where were we? No, I think that we have come an extremely long way, and I don't think that you're not going to change people's thoughts. You're not going to, especially by going at them with fucking aggression and violence and anger. I think the way you do it is by teaching the next generation to fucking love each other and teaching our children. I think that there's the systemic issues, obviously, have to be gotten rid of. And it's from management down. It's like, if you have bad management at a restaurant, the service is going to be bad, right? So it's like, I think you have to look at the powers that be. And when they say this, and this is going to sound very SJW of me, which I don't go down this path a lot, but you start to look at, and I start to understand this concept of, like, you need to have more brown people in positions of power because they do have a different perspective on things, and systemically that will filter down. And I think that's a way to do it. It's just not fucking, you know, destroying society. But I want to talk about that as well, because it's been crazy all over the country. And it sort of spilled over into the world of MMA as well, because fucking John Jones. Did you see John Jones in Albuquerque? This is crazy.
Yeah, no, I did. A fair play to him. You know, I mean, listen, on this occasion, he's out about late at night. He's not in his car. He's not drunk. He's not yippee-ki-yay, pow, 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 shooting guns. No, it's the opposite. He's out there acting like, I don't know, a vigilante police force. And good for him. He's going out there disarming civilians of spray cans, which is great. You know, he's doing some good for once. Fantastic.
Pull up his post, and there's a video of him doing it as well. So I guess he's just saying, like, I thought the post was actually really good. And I thought that sort of what he was doing was, you know, look, I don't know. Like, you got kids. I'm the same way. Like, I have a 7-year-old kid to get home to. I'm not going out there. I'm not disarming anybody. John Jones is also one of the best fighters in the world. He can handle himself. The problem is, dude, even John Jones, he puts himself in that situation, five guys versus John Jones. I mean, how many guys can he handle? Can he handle a gun or a knife or a fucking brick? So it's a very dangerous thing. And it is very brave of him to want to stand up for his community, because his perspective is, you're destroying our community.
Well, this is what I don't understand, because I mean, number one, this is a complete separate issue, but the coronavirus, right? A lot of the quarantine and the strict lockdown regulations, they're slowly being lifted, right? So you've got businesses, small businesses. I don't give a shit about your Targets or your Best Buy, your big, massive corporations. You know, they're huge corporations. They'll be fine. But your little independent stores, right? Which is what makes, cities charming, or towns charming. You want those little stores, those independently owned ones. You don't want massive corporations everywhere. They've struggled. They've still had to pay rent. They've had employees that they maybe had to lay off. They've just allowed to become open again, start earning some money again, start taking their employees back on, giving them a job. And people are out there smashing their windows, setting fire to businesses, graffitiing them. I mean, I have no idea what they think they're achieving there. I understand people are annoyed and they should make some noise. They should protest, but they should do it peacefully. Doing that, that's not helping anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm not even freaking out here. Pull that up in a second, because I want to respond to what Bisping just said. But yeah, it's like, if somebody burns a cop car, it's like, I'm not going like, oh my God, that poor police department, that poor cop car. You know, then it does go into the Targets and the corporations. There's an argument to say, okay, well, who's going to suffer? All the people that were just about to go back to work, now they don't have jobs, right? All, that whatever it is, the cost of rebuilding, it's going to be filtered out onto the people in the community. That's the reality. The price of a cheeseburger is going to go up in that community. I agree. And I don't think there's much upside in that at all. I guess there's arguments for people who are like, oh, you can't achieve anything peacefully. I think you can. I think especially now where you have information and we have social media and we have a way that you can get millions of people to come together. I mean, dude, that cop got arrested, and fucking good. That cop should fucking burn in hell. To be honest with you, I don't think the point of him putting his knee on his neck was to kill him. I don't think that's what he was trying to do. I don't know, but I don't think so. I think he was being so negligent and he just didn't care about human life.
He thought he was being a fucking badass. He's a little fucking control freak. He's clearly a racist, right? And at that moment in time, he was in control of the situation. He was obviously the big daddy cop. I think there was four of them. There was two that you couldn't see. And then there was the Asian officer as well that was like keeping the crowd away, right? So they were all as bad as one another, but he was obviously the big swinging dick of the group. He was the alpha male and he was getting off on the control and he was getting off on the fact that he's a racist piece of shit and he was causing harm to an African-American. And the guy was pleading for his life. And even once he went quiet and totally unresponsive, he still knelt on his neck for minutes later. Fuck that piece of shit. That goes without saying.
The only thing I don't know that this guy was actually doing it because he was black. I don't know that he was actually racist. That's sort of the subtext that everyone reads into.
Come on. The guy's... tried to use a fake $20 bill. That is not a big crime. He might not have even known that was fake.
I don't know. Like I said, I just don't know what was going on in that cop's mind. I don't know if the cop's actually racist. And I think that's sort of the problem, or part of the problem, is people get so emotional and they become so enraged and it becomes a thing about race where it's like, well, what if it wasn't about race? What if this cop was just a piece of shit? Because I know he had a bunch of abuse charges against him and a few of them went all the way through. What if they were all with white people? I have no idea. But so my issue is people get really charged and it becomes this thing where it's like, it's racism in this country. And I just think we should sometimes give it pause and go like, well, no, it was a human being that was killed by a fucking piece of shit. And there's a systemic problem where police are regularly brutalizing people in general. It's more of an issue in the black and Hispanic community, obviously. But I think that when you start to add those other elements, it becomes way more emotional. And that's why I think people are fucking burning cities to the ground right now.
Yeah, well, I think also what you've got to take into consideration is the fact that, tensions are so high in this country and all over the world right now, right? Unfortunately, the divide has never been greater. The lockdown has, 50 million people have lost a job. The economy has never been in worse shape. People are starving. People are hungry. People are going without money. People are broke, right? And people are angry, right? So they were already at the boiling point, right? And then just as things start to get better or conditions started to relax, this happens. So as I say, people were already at the boiling point, and then this happens. They're like, fuck you, let's go crazy. And they are overreacting to a certain degree in terms of the looting, in terms of the building, setting fire to buildings and things like that. That's not going to help anything. But I fully support the protest, and they got to fight the racism. They got to fight the inequality, because unless you do so, unless you make some kind of noise, peaceful noise, put forward in a reasonable manner, change will never come, you know? Yeah. And right now, with this, hopefully, some fucking change will come out of it. Hopefully. I don't know if it will, but hopefully it will.
I hope there's positive change. I think in the immediate, though, it can be really counterproductive. You have more brown people being hurt right now, more brown people being arrested, incarcerated, given criminal records. Major, major fucking issue, dude. Once a kid is arrested, he's whatever time's more likely to be arrested, right? You're creating maybe a possible lifetime criminal out of these people, encouraging these kids to go out there. At 19 years old, I made a lot of dumb decisions. You know, there's a lot of dumb kids out there that just, they're emotional and they don't know exactly what they're doing, and they're putting themselves in harm's way. Did you see the one guy? There's so much that goes on to these stories, so I don't know. Apparently the guy was defending his store with a sword. He had a sword.
No, I didn't see this.
And, you know, these kids were throwing rocks at him. He pulled out a sword. Apparently he started chasing one of them. I don't know exactly what happened.
Listen, a sword is a terrible weapon to defend yourself against rocks. And you got to be pretty fucking accurate with that. You know, baseball players have a fucking hard enough time hitting the baseball. You're telling me this motherfucker's going to hit a rock with a samurai sword? You know, come on, bud. Think it through. Think it through a little bit. Maybe grab a shield, a dustbin lid, you know, something better than a sword to stop a rock. But I get it.
So he fucking, dude, he got his ass beat by these kids. And it's probably 20 kids that jump on him, and they jump him and hit him with a skateboard, start throwing rocks at him. The guy believes in critical condition. Now, here's the thing. Whether you think these kids were defending themselves, you think whatever it is, it's like when tempers are this crazy and emotions are that high, you know, I don't know what's going on in this guy's head. Maybe his fucking, this is the way he feeds his kids. And he's like, I'm defending my store. No. I don't know. But either way, and that's stupid. Like, I wouldn't do that. You want to go home and see your kid. That's the reality. But these kids are now on videotape beating this guy to almost death, and their lives are ruined. Oh, they're going to get fucked on this on such a big way. And I think most of them, probably almost all of them, were not going out that morning trying to hurt anybody. They were trying to demonstrate, and this shit got crazy and it got out of hand. I think you just have to practice common sense.
Well, unfortunately, it's the mob mentality, right? They get together, because I was in Vegas over the weekend for the fights. We're going to get into all of that, of course, excuse me. And a few of the restaurants reopened outside of one of the malls, right? And there was this good Mexican place. I kept going back there over and over. And I'm sitting there, I think it was Friday afternoon, 5:30, something like that. And we had to be back at the hotel by 7, tested, and then we were quarantined until the fight. So I'm like quickly trying to eat and get back to the hotel. Anyway, all of a sudden, I hear tons of sirens, cars, police cars going up and down the strip. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Must be something bad. Then I see thousands of protesters, right? And they're walking down. They've got all the signs, Justice for Floyd, and I Can't Breathe t-shirts and all the rest of it. And I was like, this is beautiful. This is amazing. Good for them, you know? And it was a very peaceful march. And I just caught the little tail end of it on the Instagram. It just certainly occurred to me at the end, oh, fuck, this is like pretty powerful. You know, it's visually powerful. Anyway, so I got a little bit. But then the next morning, Kenny, one of the main security guards for the UFC, we're having a little chat in the morning. I'm grabbing a coffee. He's like, oh, fuck. You see all the trouble last night in Vegas? I'm like, well, no. I said, I saw a bit of the protest, but it was pretty peaceful. He said, no. He said, it all went haywire. They made like 80 or 90 arrests. And as I say, the problem is, mob mentality. You all get together, they all start spurring each other on, and then it just takes one person to do something fucking dumb, and that's the spark, and then the fire spreads, and it was like, let's go. And then if the cops are there, and then the cops do something, and then everyone's going crazy, and next minute you've got fucking chaos.
You've been to a lot of fist fights before, just dumb street scuffles as a kid. How many times does it happen like this, right? There's a bunch of people around, there's two guys jawing, talking shit. And then just one guy gets pushed into the other guy. Nobody even knows who did the push, but all of a sudden just something happens. And then it's fucking kicking off and everybody's swinging and it becomes a whole thing. And it's like, who even threw that punch? Nobody would even admit that the other person started it, but it just sort of happens. And especially with young people who think they're invincible, they think that, the world is ahead of them. And I think it's a really sad situation. And that's what I say. And I think the problem with this whole situation is, because I've been vocal about it on social media, and it's like, if you don't agree with every aspect of one side, they will burn you alive. It's like, no, I think George Floyd was murdered. I think the cops should go to prison. I think, like, I'm saying you should be held at a higher standard. It's like, okay, that's aside from the fact that I also think that people shouldn't be looting or destroying their neighborhoods and possibly getting themselves killed or hurting other people. You can believe both of those things. Why do they have to be completely independent thoughts?
Yeah. Well, first of all, a lot of points to address there. But first of all, I don't know what kind of pansies you're hanging around with that start pushing when it's going to kick off. Okay. In my circle, things were a little different. Okay. We didn't start off by pushing. Okay. We just fucking went straight in with a headbutt. There you go. Secondly, you're right. I totally agree with everything you're saying. I saw a video this morning where, because obviously a lot of the people that are protesting are white people as well. People that want fair equality. They want the right thing to happen. So they're outraged, not as much, but they're also, you know, protesting for justice.
And I think that's a good thing as well. And also, just one correction. I don't want to cut you off, Mike, but we did say Logan Paul before. It was Jake Paul that was out. That was okay. Big correction there. It's a completely different guy. I feel bad.
All right. Yeah, the brothers, they look the same. They both got blonde hair and they're both YouTubers. I mean, you know, what do you want from me?
But the video was Logan.
Yeah. It was a Logan for sure. Anyway, the video that I saw this morning was an African American female that was stopping people from spray painting everywhere. They were going around. It was white people with spray painting, BLM. And she was going up and grabbing them and grabbing the canisters, saying, "What the hell are you doing? You understand that they're going to think that that was us, and that's just going to create even more tension. They're going to think that that's us." But it's white people. And I think it's coming from a good place. Of course it's coming from a good place. But again, it's confusing the matter, and it's just adding to the tension and making the situation worse.
Yeah, look, it's everybody out there. There's a lot of brown people doing the same shit too. But the fact is, like, if you're a white person, you're trying to help the situation, looting and rioting and breaking things, believe me, that's only going to reflect poorly on the black community. So that's truly not helping anything. Pull up the John Jones video, because this was interesting. It was essentially the same thing you were just describing with this woman. John Jones, he's the lovely black woman of his own community. He steps in and, yeah, pull this video up right here. UFC champ John Jones confronts vandals in Albuquerque. John Jones is so intimidating. In that moment, you're like a fucking 16-year-old white kid. You're 143 pounds, and John Jones, 240-pound, probably future UFC heavyweight champion, comes up to you and says, "Give me the spray can."
Hey, fair play to John. Fair play to John there. And of course, John Jones been in the news for MMA reasons all this last week. We'll get into that in a little bit as well. Just last thing on this, of course, you know, condolences, that's not the right word, you know, but my thoughts, sympathies, whatever, to the family of George Floyd. And things do need to change. I remember I was in Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago, and there was a case then of another young black man. He was out on a run. And he got chased down by a father and son in Florida and fucking shot down in the streets. You know, it's like, what the fuck? It's always the next one. And then there'll be something else. There needs to be a big fucking change. And it's coming. But all right. Well, you know how we feel there. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Let me say this. Well, there was a video of a guy in the street. And it was a white dude again, and he's got a hammer, and he's smacking into the pavement, and he's breaking up the pavement, and he's getting rocks, and he's throwing them at cops and stuff like that. Mick Maynard retweeted it, and I retweeted it last night. If you can maybe pull it up, Brian. And anyway, in the end, he's smashing the pavement up to bits to get, you know, ammunition to throw at the cops. And as he's doing it, a bunch of people just run up and grab him and pick him up and throw him to the cops. And they give him to the cops, which was kind of awesome because he got what he deserved. But then the funny thing was, at the end of the video, this guy came up and he was super fucking tall. And I don't play Fortnite, but he looked like something out of Fortnite. He looked like a really long, tall, skinny, lean RoboCop. He had a fucking helmet on. He had a GoPro on top of his thing. He had shoulder pads, knee pads. He was super tall. He looked like a fucking alien, right? He looked intimidating as hell. And I want to know, number one, like, how are these people, how have they got this equipment so soon, so ready? And they're walking around like they was like future soldiers in a video game of the next world war. It was insane. If you can pull it up, Brian, please do. But yeah, there you go, Lewis.
I thought you were going to talk about the video that you sent me of the basketball player.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah,
great.
In fact, let's talk about that. Go ahead.
And his response, yeah, I don't know the guy's name. I apologize. So please, Harrington or Brian, fill us in on the specific details. But the video starts with just a really tall black guy, like 6'8", maybe, just stomping out some dude who's like lying on the ground. And then later on, you come to find out it is this NBA player. And apparently this kid smashed the window of his car. And the basketball player, he puts out his own video being like, because he knows, he's like, as soon as you're on video doing shit now, it's like, this is coming out. So he wanted to essentially preemptively defend himself. So you could also pull that up, Brian, in any order, any of these.
Yeah.
This is the Jair Smith. It's Jair Smith. He beats up alleged car vandalizer. His friends like respect his privacy, which is hilarious.
Respect his privacy as he's like kicking someone in the face with like size 15s, pearly white shoes on, and a nice big right hand there, J.R. Smith. I like your style. Oh, yeah. Listen, and he did. He came out and he gave a little statement saying, you know, he held his hand up. He didn't deny it. And I don't blame the guy, right? They're out there. He, number one, is a black gentleman. He's no doubt had oppression and racism in his life. So he's got just as much reason to be annoyed as anybody else. But they're out there. They're trashing the places. They're smashing the place up. And then some little fuck smashes his car window, right? Yeah. Hey, we said it time and time again. You chat shit, get banged. Fucking you're out there smashing my car window. If I'm sitting there doing my podcast and I see somebody smash my car window right now, you can bet your bottom dollar there's going to be a situation.
Well, what if it was a Maserati? Because right now you'd be like, all right, you know, it sucks. But
bro, what are you talking about? I got a Range Rover out there with a custom fucking paint job wrapped matte black. I don't like this myth that you're perpetuating. I don't want to sound like a show-off, but I've got to fucking back my corner. I've got to fucking supercharged Range Rover, top of the range, and I've also got an Audi S6. You know nothing about cars. It's a beautiful automobile. It's a great car.
The Audi is not the Maserati. I've driven in both, and I got the Maserati. I was like, Bisping, we need to take the long route. It was nice. It was loud. Chicks were looking at us. I felt like a fucking.
It was obnoxious.
The Audi, they're like, oh, look at those dads over there.
No, the Audi is understated sophistication. That's what the Audi is, and that's what I go for. I don't need to be flashy. I don't need to be in your face. I'm not trying to show off a blingy watch and a rum, 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 let's do this, baby. No, I just want to roll up, like, you know, without making a fucking big scene. And people go, yeah, if you know cars, it's a nice ride. That's a nice ride, baby boy. So leave my car.
Yeah, but here's the thing about the Maserati. You don't got to know cars. You're like, that's a fucking nice ride right there.
Yeah, okay. You need to find a fucking car enthusiast. I'll tell you this. On the driveway, we got a Honda Civic. If I'm sitting here now and some little fucking shit walks over with a hammer, bosh, and starts smashing windows, I don't care if it's Maserati. I don't care if it's Range Rover, Audi, or the Honda Civic. They're still going to have an issue. I'm still going to go out there and put my size 12s up their fucking ass. Simple as that.
That's what Jared Smith said. He was like, this is a residential neighborhood. This isn't businesses. There's no debate about this. You're going to come into a fucking residential neighborhood. And I don't know Jared Smith's background. I have no idea. Maybe he grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. Likely not, right? This guy made his way to the NBA, really made something of himself, right? And probably has a pretty nice car at this point. Something to be proud of. You know, that's, you know,
I'm saying he has, well, Roy Hibbert, my buddy, he's a basketballer. Well, he was. He has the self-driving Tesla Jeep, you know, the SUV. I'm going to say he's got something like that. Listen, he's driving a nice car. He's in the NBA. Simple as that. He ain't in no Audi.
The privilege of this, that it's a white kid who's been afforded all of the white privilege his whole life. The thing that they're complaining about comes in and he breaks the window of a black man's car. It's just almost funny. The irony's funny. And then, yeah, the problem with it, this guy, J.R. Smith, and I hope it doesn't happen. I hope this kid disappears and it just doesn't become an issue. But the problem is now this J.R. Smith opens himself up because he's famous. He's in the NBA for this kid to maybe come back and sue him, even though he was completely in the wrong and he would win. They would settle out of court. This kid would get fucking money. It's crazy.
He would win, unfortunately. I mean, I don't know the laws in terms of your defending your own property. I'm not sure where the law lies, but I would assume that because he put his hands on him and, you know, he probably didn't feel a physical threat because no doubt he's at least 6'6". He's going to be a big gentleman. He's definitely had the height advantage on this guy. I will say this, a bit of a reach advantage, bit of a weight advantage, you know, leg and
athleticism.
It definitely has the athletic and he can definitely dunk a ball better than him. That's a fact. However, yeah. I'll say this. If I put on my analyst commentary hat for a second, those head kicks on the floor were weak shit. okay?
Well, they were illegal. I mean, you can't do that.
He was a downed opponent at the time. But still, I don't feel like he was really trying to do him any damage. I feel like he was just trying to say to the referee, look, this guy's not intelligently defending, because he wasn't trying to do any damage there.
I'm just saying, MMA rules, J.R. Smith lost that fight. You know, just the same way John Jones lost to fucking Matt Hamill. You know, that little white kid won that fight.
And take that to the judge when they try and sue him. Say, hold on, what are you talking about? I got disqualified on a technicality. He won the fight. In fact, I'm going to sue him. I didn't even get my win bonus. What are you talking about?
This show rules. How do you not love this show?
I do. I have a great time. I love doing it. Unfortunately, we are growing. So thank you, each and every single one of you. All right, listen, at the end of the day, final on this. Things have to change. I'm disgusted with what I'm seeing. I'm absolutely, utterly disgusted. I'm disappointed. My heart goes out. I have sympathy for everybody involved. And just try and do the right thing. Try and keep cooler heads, and change will come. Hopefully it does. I don't know.
Hey, Mike, we really should talk about one of our incredible new sponsors that we have right now, which is DraftKings. Love DraftKings. Really fun. Never messed with fantasy MMA before. And they really just turned the whole, we talked about gambling on MMA, making it more fun. This is like a whole other level. Okay. It's really awesome. This weekend, we got UFC 250 and it's going to be action packed. Here's the way it works. Okay. What you do is you pick six fighters, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a share at $1 million with DraftKings, because nothing makes a UFC event more exciting than when you have skin in the game with DraftKings.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime there's money involved, it's going to be a better night. And of course, you get to show off to your friends and say, hey, listen, look at this. I know this sport inside and out. So if you want to give it a go, first off, you got to download the DraftKings app now. And then use the promo code BYM and you will get a free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. Once again, download the DraftKings app, use the promo code BYM, and then you get a free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposits only at DraftKings. Minimum deposit, $5. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, where were we? MMA news. Before we get into the fights, what juicy tidbits do we have? Harrington, are you floating there today? I want to know what Harrington is wearing, because this is always a point of hilarity. Harrington, show yourself, please. Or say something, at least.
Oh, man, it'd be so cool if you'd pull yourself.
God. That's disappointing. How are you, buddy? Good to see you, mate. Hey, you look relatively normal today. You got a t-shirt on. You got a hat on. You look good. You got a smile, you know. It's disappointing, though. You got a roof over your head. Oh, my God. Look at that. He's been dying to say that joke the whole time, Lewis.
Yeah. So, listen, Harrington, we didn't really go over any notes with you today. It was just sort of like me and Bisping spoke. Like, there's a lot to talk about. Let's just say this. We're going to talk, obviously, about Gilbert Burns and his incredible win over Tyron Woodley. I mean, really incredible. Is there maybe some sort of BYM good luck charm happening? People that come onto this show seem to win pretty big fights.
Well, yes, they do. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Harrington, in the notes, is there anything before we get into the weekend's action, which was sensational, by the way? What have we got? Quick hitters up, Harrington. And I know we're putting you on the spot, but they were your notes. Look at them, pick them, hit us with them, quick, in a quick hittery style. Go.
Well, I can't think of any bigger news than John Jones possibly vacating his light heavyweight title.
Yeah, that's crazy. It is crazy. I hope it doesn't happen. I'm a fan of watching him fight. Listen, we all know there's the shenanigans out of the octagon need improvement, but inside the octagon, the greatest of all time, right? Let's not get into that whole discussion, but I don't know. I don't know I don't know. Lewis, what do you think?
I don't really know too many of the details. Apparently, he says he's vacating his light heavyweight belt. He's at odds with the UFC. I'm assuming his contract negotiations. I don't know much about the behind the scenes, but what is the alternative? Going to Bellator? I know Ryan Bader had said he wants to defend his belt against John Jones in Bellator. John Jones isn't talking about retiring from mixed martial arts. He's talking specifically about leaving the UFC, correct?
Well, here's the thing. Number one, you can't do that. He's signed to the UFC. They have him under contract, and they're not just going to let him go just like that. Simple. It all started over money and this whole Francis Ngannou situation. He said he wants to move up to heavyweight. He wants to fight Francis Ngannou. And in order to do that, he wants more money. Dana White came back, and I don't want to get into the ins and outs of the financial situation because it's none of my business, but just a quick brief overview. Dana White, you know, said, no, I'm not giving you any money. You're under contract. And if the super fight, which, you know, kind of would be to a certain degree, if it is as popular as what you think it will be, then you will make more money anyway because you get a percentage of the pay-per-view. Then apparently they went back and forth. John Jones was talking a bit of shit. Dana was defending himself. Dana was actually very cordial. You know, he was cordial in his responses, but Jones was getting a bit upset. Then he said, why are you calling me a liar? Show the text messages. It was like a soap opera going on. Ooh. Before the whole world.
Did he show the text messages?
No,
or
he
said
didn't. Dana's not going to do this. He's not going to lower himself to do that. He's like, well, shut the fuck up. Do you know what I mean?
Weird.
But then it comes out. I think he's earning like $5 million per fight or something like that, you know, and he wants more money. He's saying he wants Deontay Wilder money. And Dana's saying, well, hold on a minute. He got $30 million or something for his last fight. You're not going to get it. Listen, I'm all for fighters getting paid more money, but I don't think anyone's going to get $30 million anytime soon. $5 million is pretty good. He wants more. It is what it is. He's earning a very good living. But he's saying, but, you know, that is his stance, and he's entitled to take that stance. And he's saying, okay, well, if you won't pay me what I want, and this is his right, of course. If you won't pay me what I want, then I want out of my contract and I'm going to leave the UFC. And if he wants to retire or not be active, then again, that is his choice as well. But there's no way the UFC, I would highly doubt it, that they will relinquish him from his contract.
No, I highly doubt it as well. I mean, have we ever really seen that? I think I think there's been a couple times. We saw the trade happen with
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse. So that happened. I remember Arlovsky, I think they chose to not renew his contract. I remember back in the day when he was like sort of on top still. He was still like, you know, probably the number two or three heavyweight in the world. There's been a few times. The UFC rarely will let a commodity go. I think they're very smart about business. The thing I got to say, and I tend to side with the fighters as well, and I'm siding with the fighters by saying this. The UFC has created a massive, massive infrastructure that has made millionaires out of people that otherwise wouldn't have even had a sported career to go to. You know, we're talking about like guys that were doing college wrestling. There was nothing to do after that. You were going to coaching, that you were going to coach a fucking middle school team. That's all it was. The UFC recognized and through hard work, massive investments, I mean, losing money for years and years and years, created an infrastructure where right now I am making – I can just do this podcast and I make money off it. And you know, that it's sort of crazy. Like that's how far the UFC has reached, where a comedian that doesn't even fucking know much about the sport can make a living off of this sport. I don't think the people or anybody should be holding the UFC's feet to the fire, considering that they've done a great, and no other mixed martial arts organization has figured out the infrastructure on how to make stars out of mixed martial artists and give them careers for years and years to come. If you are a UFC fighter, you can go to any organization. If you have a successful run, you can open up gyms. There's other value there that I think it's sort of short-sighted to go like, you got to give us boxing money. Boxing doesn't have all of that.
Yeah. No, listen, I agree. And to an earlier point, what you said about these kids that are out there, you know, getting into trouble possibly and getting criminal records. I was one of those guys, right? And I know firsthand what you're talking about because unfortunately, I ended up with a petty criminal record. Nothing bad, just a couple of scraps. But let me tell you, that shit follows you around. So if you're one of those and you're listening to this, you're a young man, a young woman, just a youngster in general, right? Don't do what you can. Stay out of trouble. Do not get in any kind of trouble with the law because that shit will follow you around. I had trouble getting visas. I had trouble getting into the country. I still have to go to secondary inspection and get treated like a criminal every time I come into America to this day, every single time. So it will follow you around. Secondly, with the UFC, yeah, you're right. Of course, I'm also one of those guys, right? I earn very good money. If it wasn't for the UFC, if it wasn't for the explosion of mixed martial arts, which happened because of the UFC, then yeah, I'd still... You know, I don't know what I'd be doing. I'm an ambitious man, so I would have figured something out, but I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be sitting here in what you call the half mansion in California. That is a fact. To John Jones, you know, he's saying he wants boxing money. I mean, I get it. I understand. It's frustrating. He's the greatest of all time, right? Let's not have that discussion. We've had it a lot recently, but he's one of the best, right? He's technically undefeated. He's taken on best guy after best guy after best guy, champion after champion, contender after contender, and he wants to get paid, right? That's his right. He wants more money. Fuck it. That's his right. And the UFC are there. And, you know, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're saying fuck you. He's saying fuck you as well. So what are they going to do? I don't know. If he wants to throw his toys out the pram and say, well, fuck you, I'm not fighting. Ultimately, he's only going to hurt himself. I don't know. Maybe the UFC will come back and they'll negotiate a little bit. I don't know if they will, though.
I think, here's the thing, my prediction, John Jones will continue to fight for the UFC. The UFC will come back and make him happy in one way or another. But if you want boxing money, you got to deliver boxing numbers. You know, if John Jones was selling 5 million pay-per-views every time,
or a million pay-per-views,
or even a million, even a million,
or 750,000. Hey, let me tell you, boxing numbers real fast. And again, not trying to go against the grain in the UFC, but not all boxers do those massive, gigantic numbers, and they still get big money. So that's kind of his point. I don't know what the Tyson Fury Deontay one did good numbers. It probably did about a million pay-per-view buys. So yeah, listen, I mean, the reality is this. Boxing has been around forever, and the UFC slowly catching up. And with guys like John Jones, with people like Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey, the real, real big earners, the George St. Pierre's, we're slowly catching up, and that's what happens over time. Boxing has been around for hundreds of years, UFC since 1993.
Boxing is no brand, right? So you don't know. We've talked about this before in the past, but we don't know the difference. You watch boxing. You're a fan of boxing, a real fan of boxing. You don't really know the difference between the WBO and the WBA and the BOBB and the who fucking knows. The UFC has built a brand to where there's t-shirts that have a little UFC logo in the back tag. And, you know, there's gyms all over the world. It's like they've built something that boxing never did. And that takes massive, massive investment. It's a different thing. And you could talk all day long about how boxing. Yeah, there's a handful of guys that make all of the money in boxing. Whereas I think in mixed martial arts, it's just spread out in a much more even way. And I think that's overall a better thing for the sport.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'll tell you what I want to talk about. I got a new number fucking ages ago, and I'm still getting text messages for this Britney. This Britney's a mess, okay? Britney, on my old number, get your shit together. I get videos. I don't know if I've told you this. I'm getting text messages now saying, you need to change your number. I did, fuckface. No, I got videos sent to me of her ex-boyfriend, this Britney, this random one, saying, fuck you, bitch, because she's smashing her boyfriend's car windows and stuff like that. Anyway, so that's the drama I get on my phone every day.
Hold on, slow down, because I'm not understanding this. You have the person who had the number that you have now before you was a crazy bitch.
Oh, don't say the bitch word, brother. But oh, yeah. We don't start more riots. But yeah, she was crazy, man. She's smashing windows. She's got IRS. She's renting cars from Hertz rental car and not returning them. They call me every day. When are you going to return the car? Right? And then I have people saying, hey, fucking Merry Christmas, fucking Britney and shit like that. And I text back, yo, you want to tell this Britney to get her shit together? And they're like, oh my God, Britney has got her shit together. I'm like, really? Really? Because I've got her old number. I get the text. I get the phone calls from guys in the middle of the night looking for a fucking quick booty call, as they call it. I'm like, no, I do not want to come over. Leave me alone, okay? You are not my sexual persuasion, and I am a married man. Anyway. That is that. That is the John Jones situation. We'll see how it plays out. All right. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get into what happened at the weekend, Lewis. Of course, UFC were back in Las Vegas. That was great. Fantastic fight card. Once again, fights have been delivering with no crowd. I don't know if it's because they're more cognizant that Dana White is there and they're trying to fight harder. I don't know what it is, but the fights are delivering consistently. Let's start.
There's a weird intimacy with it, with no crowd, right? It feels like you are closer to the fight without there being a massive crowd there while I'm watching it on television. It reminds me a little bit of The Ultimate Fighter. You can hear the coaching. It's actually... as almost like from a hardcore fan, I'm assuming hardcore fans like it way more. I think I like it more too, because I love hearing the coaching in the corners. I like hearing the sort of like, I don't know. It's just there's something about the intimacy there where you hear the fucking punches hit harder. You hear the guys talking to each other mid fight. It's a different experience. And I think a little bit of an experience that I'm going to miss once we go back to having major crowds there.
Yeah, no, me too. Sorry, I'm just dealing with this group text. I'm getting threatened
now. Can you tell everyone what's happening because they don't know?
Yeah, no, I talked about it a second ago. So I've got this, I'm on a new number and I'm getting texts from all kinds of people. I'm on a group text and I very politely put, I said, hey, this isn't Brittany. You know, please remove me from this chat. And they're like, hey, change your number. I'm like, I did change my number, you dumb fuck. That's what I'm telling you. And I got this number. And then they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, by the way, this is after a lot of provocation. Provocation? Provocation?
Provocation.
Provocation. Jesus Christ. Anyway, after a lot of provocation from the group text, I'm like, listen, you dumb folks, just leave me alone. And now I'm getting threats going, you picked the wrong family to mess with. I'm like,
What did I tell you? I warned him. He was about to call him dumb fucks. He was, because this is what Bisping does when he texts somebody. He has to say the words out loud as he's texting it. So he said dumb fucks.
And you make me sound so stupid when
I have to say words as I write them. I fucking said, Bisping, don't write dumb fuck. You're just sort of, they have your number. You're just sort of asking for people to troll you and talk shit.
Yeah, and like, I said, the satisfaction I will get for calling them dumb fucks, because they are a dumb fuck. I'm sorry. I'm a man of my word. If I see a bit of dumb fuckery, I'll call you out on the dumb fuckery. And the satisfaction I got from calling them dumb fucks and seeing them explode on my timeline or on my text line was totally worth it. So I'm going to get the abuse. I'm going to get a petrol bomb through the window. I'm going to get, you know, whatever. But still, I don't know
what family you're messing with.
They don't know who they're fucking messing with, baby boy.
What if it's Kelvin Gastelum's family? Like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit.
They're going to eat me. They're going to put me in a fucking burrito. Anyway, okay. By the way, because he misses weight a lot and he's a little overweight. Yeah, that's what I meant. I wasn't making a joke over, you know. Anywho, swiftly moving on.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and thank CBDMD, which is such a great sponsor of this show. CBD, so many incredible benefits. Everything from healing physical pain, anxiety. I use it for anxiety every morning now. Instead of smoking weed, which makes me tired by midday, I've been using CBD, which really helps. But do a little bit of research yourself. Go on to Google, type in some sort of affliction that you might have, and see if CBD can help. It is the non-psychoactive chemical in marijuana. It does not get you high. It is legal in 50 states. And to be honest with you, CBD offers some of the best products available.
Yeah, that's right. And also, their CBD is sourced from organic, non-GMO, vegan hemp plants grown right here in the USA. CBD is extracted using a lot of fucking science that I'm not going to tell you. But here's what you do want to know. They have a variety of products. Anywhere you want to ingest your CBD, my favorite is the Freeze. So easy to apply. I have neck issues. I'm getting that treated, but the CBD has been helping. They have the Revive and the Recover creams, which I use on my knees all the time. They're fantastic. They got the gummies, they got drops, they got bath bombs, they got a ton of stuff. And most importantly, they got the best prices per milligram for the best quality CBD on the market. Plus, free shipping on all US orders with a 30-day money-back guarantee. All you got to do is Google CBD, anxiety, inflammation, stress, pain, insomnia, the CBDMD PM. That will knock you out and give you the best night's sleep, and you wake up feeling totally refreshed as well. So give it a shot. Give it a try. Go to CBDMD.com. Use the code BYM20 and you will get 20% off your initial order. So once again, CBDMD.com, promo code BYM20, 20% off, better night's sleep, reduced inflammation, no stress, and you're just a happy fucking guy. CBDMD.com, BYM20. All right, where were we?
UFC Las Vegas, Gilbert Burns versus Tyron Woodley. The return of Tyron Woodley, the chosen one. Obviously, you weren't there, Lewis, so give me a minute to explain this. Obviously, Tyron Woodley, great champion, right? He was a great champion. He lost his belt to, was it Kamaru Usman? In a very one-sided, lopsided affair, pardon me. And then, you know, he's come back. I think it's been 15 months. And I was saying all week going into this, he needs to come into this. He needs to change his, he needs to change his approach, his mental approach. You know, because you know, Lewis, like, for example, George St. Pierre, towards the end of his title run, had altered his style, right? He was much more conservative. He was looking just to take people down and hold them down and grind out a decision. That's understandable because it comes from pressure of remaining champion of the world. You want to keep hold of that belt. You want to keep your legacy intact. You want to forever be the champion. You want all the trimmings that come with being the champion, the money, the fame, the opportunity, right? So Tyron Woodley had developed a kind of reserve style. Now, there were some tremendous performances. You know, when he took out Darren Till, that was great. The way he won the belt against Robbie Lawler, that was awesome. But there were some fights like the one against Damian Maia, which weren't that good. The fight against Kamaru Usman, you know, that was a terrible performance. So I was like, he has to change his approach. He has to go back to being a contender, right? And we were talking to him at the fighter meetings, and he was saying He seemed angry, and I even asked him about it. You know, he was telling a story how, like, Mike Swick, one of his coaches in Thailand, when they were sparring, Mike Swick was giving him advice, and he was saying, you know, he got into a full-on argument with him. He's like, this is how fired up I am for this fight. He was giving me advice, and I was fired up, and we had a full-on argument. And I said to him, I said, Tyron, don't take this the wrong way, but some might say that that is the wrong approach. And arguing with your own coaches, that shows a level of frustration, a level of tension that is going to be detrimental. And he's, you know, and he's like, well, everyone's different. I deal with that great. And that's true. You know, some people, that can be a positive for them, you know, but generally, and I learned this after years with Jason Perillo, that that isn't the right way to go into a fight, right? You want to be cool, calm, collected. I've spoke about it many, many times. And of course, when the fight came, he didn't deliver, right? He did it. It was, it's, I don't want to say this. I like Tyron. I'm not trying to shit on Tyron at all, but it was the similar kind of performance what we've seen in his last few fights, Lewis.
Yeah, I think that there's something, I don't know what it is, and I can't speak to Tyron Woodley's mentality. You know, I wouldn't even try to. It'd be disrespectful for me to. But Tyron Woodley at one time was considered pound for pound top two, top three. People were talking about Tyron Woodley like he was the next George St. Pierre, the athleticism, how it actually did fix your coloring, by the way. It looks
better. I know. I said that a minute ago. I'd gone super overexposed when I put the camera, when I put my phone up to the thing. I went super bright. And I'm like, as you were talking, because the camera goes on you, I'm like, allow me to pretend that, by the way, we never spoke about these. You, those videos where like the women hold up the boxing glove to the camera and then it comes back and they're all dressed up. Stop doing them. Okay.
TikToks.
If you partake in those videos, stop it, because they're fucking annoying. But anyway, I tried to do one and it has put my coloring back to normal. Anyway, back to Woodley Burns.
You look good. So yeah, Tyron, it just seems to be whatever it is, there's like a almost like a hump that he needs to get over with the fans, with himself, whatever it is, because there's been a few performances now that are lacking, and it seems like they are not, it's not up to the level that Tyron was fighting at before. Tyron Woodley, when he was coming up, first got into the UFC because he came from Strikeforce. He did have a couple of losses back in the day, but then he got into the UFC. And I remember saying back then, being using Tyron as the example of the guys who come in from another organization and it's either make or break. You see some guys and they really fight to that level, and these other guys, and they're exposed as not being anywhere near as good. You know, Ben Askren comes to mind. No offense to Ben Askren, I think he's great, but there's a lot of examples where they come to the UFC and they look like world beaters out of the UFC, and then they have a real hard time. Tyron was the guy where it was like, holy shit, dude, he needed that level of competition. He's this next level, and now something is there, and it seems like some sort of mental block.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, of course, there's two people in every fight, and Gilbert Burns was outstanding. We'll get into his performance in a minute. I mean, I guess we'll kind of do it now because the two go hand in hand. But I did have a good point I wanted to make about Tyron before we move on. But we should talk about the fight first, because I remember at the end of the post-fight show on Saturday, we heard from Tyron Woodley, and he was kind of gracious in defeat, but he was giving himself credit for not getting knocked out, which, you know, you have to do that. After you've had a tough loss, you look for things, you look for moral victories, okay? Because you're trying to make yourself feel better. We're all human beings, right? And you're trying to process the loss. And obviously, he thought this was going to be his return fight. He was going to come back, he was going to have a massive performance. Everyone's going to be talking about him, saying, whoa, book the rematch with Kamaru Usman. This is the fight we want to see. And of course, he was disappointed. So he's trying to piece it back together and, you know, give himself a little leeway. So I understand that. But they asked us, DC said, which, by the way, I love working with DC at the weekend. Shout out, DC. You know, I hope I wasn't too hard, but what I saw was this. And I feel like this was a very honest assessment of what I saw. It was the same old Tyron Woodley, okay? He allowed himself to back up against the fence for the most part. He was looking for single shots at the time. He was just relying on that massive one shot, looking for the knockout, looking for the big overhand right. I said, here's what I want to see. I want to see him getting busier. I want to see him pushing the pace. I want to see him moving forward. I want to see him working behind the jab, throwing a right hand behind it, 1-2, finish with a low kick, move around on the ankles, dancing around the octagon, shoot a fucking takedown here and there. The guy's a tremendous wrestler.
wrestler. I think he was a two-time All-American Division One. He's a high, top of the food chain level wrestler. We don't see him using it, okay? He talked about it in the interview before the fight that he was planning on taking him down, but we never saw it. And don't anybody say, oh, yeah, but he was a jiu-jitsu guy, so he's not going to take him down. It's mixed martial arts. I mean, you can elbow them in the fight, and Tyron's also down as a black belt. He can take him down for a minute here and there, and it keeps him guessing. But be busier. Mix up the attacks. Don't back up and just look for a right hand. You can get away with that if you're defending the belt and you're faster and you're having success. But we didn't see that. We didn't see him mixing things up. We didn't see him fighting with a sense of urgency. We just saw him trying to get the one-punch knockout, which if you get is awesome. If you can land that big shot and drop someone like Darren Till the way he did, then finish it off with a nice submission, great. But when it's not happening like that, and certainly after the first round, because the first round, Gilbert Burns fucking unleashed on him, and it looked like the fight was going to be over. I thought, fuck, you know, because I have a relationship with Tyron. I don't want him to get smoked in one round, and I like Gilbert Burns as well. He came on the show multiple times, so I like them both. It's a difficult thing, but may the best man win. But if someone's going to lose, I don't want him to lose in the first round, so I was concerned for him there. But, you know, he showed a lot of heart because a lot of people would have got finished there, and he made it to the second round, but he didn't mix things up, Lewis.
Well, let me ask you, just because you have a fighter's perspective on this, did Gilbert look that good, or did Tyron just not really seem to put it together? Because Gilbert looked incredible in that fight, but you know, I almost feel like you can't really see how good he was, because I don't know. I don't want to disrespect Tyron, but Tyron seems like he just wasn't there.
Well, that's kind of disrespecting Gilbert at the same time, because the performance from Gilbert was incredible. His striking was beautiful. The work he's doing with Henry Hooft is really paying off, right? It was very, very technical. He shot in. The timing on the takedowns from Gilbert Burns, right? Tyron would throw the left hook. He would time it perfectly. He would drop underneath, level change, get the takedown. Just phenomenal stuff. And the speed
of out-wrestling him. It was crazy.
He out-wrestled him, because it's the element of surprise when you're not expecting him to shoot, or when you're throwing the punches to the face, then it comes the takedown. When you put it all together, when you practice the arts of the mixed martial, you can catch them off guard, catch them off surprise. It was a flawless performance by Gilbert Burns. He looked incredible. And I think with that performance, he might have jumped the line. You know, of course.
You think so?
Well, there's a possibility. And I'll tell you what else I loved, and I got so much respect for Gilbert for doing it. He called out Kamaru Usman. Kamaru Usman helped him train for the fight. Kamaru Usman is one of his main training partners. Kamaru Usman is his teammate. But he
maybe
said,
the reason why he was able to out-wrestle Tyron Woodley, Kamaru Usman, he laid out the game plan and had to beat Tyron Woodley, gave Gilbert Burns every bit of information. Now Gilbert Burns goes and stabs Kamaru Usman in the back. I like it. He's like a bad guy.
Yeah, fucking love it. It's awesome. That's what you should do. Listen. You get one career. We've seen this time and time again, fighters not wanting to fight their teammates because he's the champion. We had it with the whole Rashard John Jones thing for a long time until they went to separate camps. But you got one career. You want to make the most of it. Gilbert's a great guy. Kamara's a great guy. I'm assuming that they've had the conversation, right? Kamara helped him train for the fight, and they've probably had a gentleman's agreement. So listen, obviously, if you beat Tyron, you want to fight for the belt, and I give you my blessing, you know, and we'll probably train with separate camps or whatever. But I like that Gilbert did that. It was a ballsy move. It was a right move, and it showed, you know, it was ballsy.
It was ballsy. And obviously, look, you have a huge performance over a former champion in Tyron Woodley. Everyone's going to be having that conversation. Should you be the guy next guy in line? How early in, so, because you high level fighters, right? You're in a gym, and you've been there before. Another guy comes in the same weight class, right? He's another UFC caliber guy. How early in that relationship do you guys have that conversation where you're like, hey, just so you know, this is the way that I feel about fighting teammates, because we might cross paths one day? Or do you sort of come to that bridge when you come to it?
You kind of come to that bridge when you come to it, right? Because let's remember, it wasn't that long ago, Gilbert Burns was still fighting at lightweight. So that wasn't even an issue, you know? But now he's moved up a weight class. Kamaru's now the champ. He's a surging prospect. Now he just beats Tyron Woodley. It's definitely a thing. So as I'm saying, I don't know this, but I'm assuming they've had a chat. They both have the same coach, Henry Hooft, right? So there's no way that hasn't come up in conversation. And he's probably said, you know, if you want to chat, if you beat him, and there might have been a little bit of Kamaru thinking, if you beat him, motherfucker, because I don't think you can do what I did. But if you beat him, then fair play, challenge me. And he did. He took full advantage of the situation. And you never know. He might have just leapfrogged everybody with that. I mean, Masvidal's there, of course. Leon Edwards
Super
is
impressive.
There.
But, dude, that performance, I can't wait to see Gilbert Burns fight again. I mean, his last fight was a first-round knockout against Damian Maia. Before that, he beat 20-0 undefeated Russian Alexei Yunchenko. Just put on a fucking brutal display against Tyrone Woodley. I mean, that man is on fire. And he's saying, give me a fight on Fight Island. Give me a fight on Fight Island in July. I'll fight again, because he was pretty much unscathed. I mean, I said to DC, he did 25 rounds at the weekend. DC quickly corrected me on air, threw me under a bus and said, Mikey, there's no way he just did 25 rounds. He might have done 25 minutes. Did you see that bit? That was funny.
I didn't see that, but DC, he doesn't give a shit. He's really in it for himself, huh? Just throw you right under the bus.
Nah. He did it from a comedy perspective. It was funny. Obviously. It was fucking hilarious. You know, I'm like, okay, you prick.
Isn't it more impressive the way that Gilbert beat Tyron Woodley? So it's in a weird way, right? So if he came out and he fucking starched Tyron, knocks him out in 8 seconds, 18.3 seconds, holy shit, fastest knockout in the welterweight division, right? That would have probably almost guaranteed him a title shot, right? But no luck involved, comes out, beats Tyron Woodley 5 straight rounds. I don't think that there was a minute of that fight where Tyron was winning the fight. In a weird way, it doesn't guarantee him that win. And in my opinion, substantially more impressive to take Tyron 5 rounds and beat him every round, especially Gilbert Burns, never fought a 5-round fight in the UFC before, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's right. And just going back to a previous point, what I said about Tyron, and again, I'm not trying to shit on Tyron. I'm just trying to further elaborate on what I said and how he needs to change his style. Because when you look at Tyron Woodley, you look at that fight on Saturday night, right? Tyron's 38 years old. So you could be forgiven for thinking, oh, he's 38. You know, maybe he's slowing down, right? He's getting towards the end of his career. But no, I didn't see evidence of that. He was still fast. He was still on point. He was still powerful. He was still dangerous as fuck when he threw those punches. He still could explode and still knock people out.
Chin.
And I was just going to say, and the chin is there, right? He's not like he's getting touched off shots. Kamaru couldn't finish him. Gilbert couldn't finish him. The chin is still there. It's the mental approach. The physicalities are still there. He still has the gifts. He still has everything that made him the champion, apart from the mindset. And that's what he needs to work on. He needs to go see a sports psychologist. He needs to speak to his teammates and you know, work on himself a little bit. He really does. Because as I said, the physical side, that's there. That's always been there. It's the mental side. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's pressure. I don't know if it's outside things outside the octagon. Maybe he's got distractions. Maybe he's focusing on the rap career. I don't know what it is. But the mental approach and the mental attitude towards the fight is not there. Because he's just not pulling the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, aside from Tyron, what do you think here? I mean, Gilbert, I don't know that he's jumped the line. I think Masvidal has really earned that title shot. I think he's also, in my opinion, you know, probably the most exciting fighter to sort of give that title shot to, and sort of what that opens up in that division, I think, could be really fun. But I think that Gilbert has earned that number one contender shot. And I think with Colby just losing in the way that he lost to his teammate in Kamaru Usman, that is perfectly set up right now. And I obviously, you're coming off of a win over a former champion. I don't know if you necessarily would want to fight somebody who is losing, but Colby's a massive name who people want to see get his ass kicked. And in a weird way, sort of like a gatekeeper. He just fought for the title. You know what I'm saying? And if you beat Colby, I mean, I think it really states that you're right there and you're ready for that title shot. I think overall, just to have the division clear itself out. No, you completely disagree.
Yeah. No. See, here's the thing, right? Especially now, unfortunately, with this racial divide that seems to be getting bigger and bigger. I mean, they got to do Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley. The amount of shit that them two talk to one another for the longest time, that fight has been brewing for so long. Tyron's lost. Colby lost. Now's the time to make that fight. They were going to do it for the belt. I say that's the fight to make there. I agree with you in terms of Masvidal. Masvidal, with what he did last year, the body of work that he did, you can't deny that, man. He's got the star power. He's got the performances. He's got the finishes over guys like Askren, Nate Diaz, and Darren Till. They're all three big fucking names. So he should get the fight against Usman. And then in the meantime, maybe Burns fights Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
And the winner of Leon Edwards and Burns fights the winner of Kamaru and Masvidal. There you go.
That's literally the perfect answer. We don't have the answer for all the race riots happening in the world, but we can give you the answer for the welterweight division right now.
I got those answers all day. Mick Maynard, Sean Shelby, just it's fine. Take it. I'll give you the credit, baby. Don't worry about
Happy
it.
Happy birthday,
fine.
Baby boys. Yeah, yeah.
Take it. Here's what you got. Let me lay out the path to stardom and victory and UFC pay-per-views all over the place.
But then, Conor McGregor's just sitting there, and he could swoop down like a hawk and just come in, honestly, probably with almost do anything he wants in that division, barring a title shot. But even so, if he really wanted it, I think there's a path for Conor to get that title shot.
Well, I don't know, because Kamaru was talking last week, right? Kamaru was talking. I forget the ins and outs, but I saw the headlines. And Kamaru was saying, Kamaru said, listen, if you want to fight for the belt, Conor, come and get it. I'm here. I'll fight you. Of course, Kamaru wants to fight Conor. Biggest star in the sport. Pay-per-views through the roof. Red panty night for everybody all around. Right?
145-pounder. Can't wrestle for shit. Yeah, pretty easy fight.
Yeah, there you go. He's like, okay, come get this. Come get these hands, if you will. But Conor was quiet. And it was Kamaru saying this. He said, Conor was quiet. Why else would anybody that's offered a title fight stay quiet? And it was a good question from Kamaru. He was saying to the reporter, why haven't we heard from Conor McGregor? I've said here, I'll take the fight. Come get the welterweight title shot. And we haven't heard. Why is that? It's because he doesn't want it. Or I'm sure he wants it. Or it's because he's focused on fighting Nate Diaz in the summer. Right? That's probably my guess. I don't know if I'm correct there, but again, that's an assumption.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of interesting things for Conor as well. And if Conor's being honest in that he just wants to fight all these big fights. The Justin Gaethje fight is sitting right there for him, which is just such an exciting fight. The Masvidal fight is sitting right there. I mean, BMF, just throw that. You could literally put Masvidal Conor and put the BMF title up. Everyone's buying that. One of the biggest pay-per-views you could possibly put together right now. So there's a lot going on. 107 pounds, 155 pounds as well. But I think that Conor, he doesn't want any part of Kamaru Usman. It's just a bigger, in my opinion, a bigger, maybe even tougher fight than Khabib. You just have a larger, more athletic wrestler who has better hands, who's just so much bigger. I mean, I think Conor would have real problems with Kamaru. He should focus on 155.
Yeah, listen, you would have to favor Kamaru in that fight, but, to the victor go the spoils, and then you take that chance, steps up, fights the welterweight champion, gets beaten. There's no harm in trying, and he might just pull it off. You never know. 170 is going to have big power. You might put Kamaru away, so you never know. And remember, Gaethje, he's fighting Khabib. So realistically, and Masvidal should fight Usman. So realistically, the only big blockbuster option for Conor, I'm not saying the only one, because anytime Conor fights, it's going to be a blockbuster fight anyway. But the big one is him versus Nate Diaz. Anyway, so there you go. Listen. Commiserations, Tyron Woodley. Go ahead.
Side note, I apologize just because it does relate. Dana White did shit on the idea of McGregor fighting Usman for the welterweight title. He said, listen, the next title fight for Usman is going to be one of these guys. It's going to be Colby Masvidal Edwards. It's going to be one of those guys. It's not going to be Conor McGregor. So, likely the fact that he even put Colby in there. Is there talks of a Colby rematch?
With who?
With Usman.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know, because I did see that quote as well. So I don't know. Maybe Dana, he's just speaking off the cuff and he threw that name out there as well. They're the biggest names at welter. Anyway, that was that. Well done, Gilbert Burns. My God, friend of the show. Came on a couple of times. Great man. We'll have to get him on again soon. Good interview as well. Good person.
Awesome.
Good sense of humor.
Good dad.
And Tyron
good guy.
Woodley, man, I wish you nothing but the best. I wish you nothing but success. I hope he can come back from this. Listen, the road isn't done for Tyron Woodley. I've been there. Unfortunately, now he's lost two in a row. It's a tough position, but if he makes some mental adjustments, he can come back from this. It's not over. It isn't over. Go away, lick your wounds, and come back in style, and come
Speaking
back with a vengeance. Do a Bisping. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said you listen to Bisping. Do what you do. You lost two in a row. You came back.
Never lost two in a row in my life until the end.
Well, then what happened? Oh, shit. Never mind. Don't take Bisping's advice.
Until the end. And then I fucked it off. You know what I mean? But I've got one eye, no knees, fucking my good eye's failing me, my neck. I'm all constantly doing this. It was time. It was time for me to walk away. So shove it. All right. Co-main event, Blagoy Ivanov versus Augusto Sakai. Fair play to Sakai. Got a good fight there. We're not going to break that down too much.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was. Hey, it's always fun anytime you see two big heavyweights throwing down like that. I'll tell you what I didn't know. Blagoy Ivanov was stabbed, according to DC, 50 times back in 2012. He's got some scars in his stomach if you look closely. 50 fucking times, man. That is just insane.
50 times? And my father something couldn't handle
like
one
that.
Stab?
Maybe he's just like, oh, it was something like 50 times. Knowing DC's probably exaggerated a bit. But it was definitely more than once. It was multiple times.
So by MMA math, you're saying that, what's his name? Fucking the Hawaiian guy.
Max Holloway?
No, the guy who beat Blagoy.
Augusto Sakai, the Brazilian. Yes, the Brazilian. Oh,
whatever. He looks Hawaiian to me.
Whoa. As a brown person yourself?
You're going to throw that in my face?
See the top of the show. I'm brown. I've faced fucking prejudice my entire life. You're just going to do that? Fucking Hawaiian and
see
Brazilian?
The top of the show. Here, Bisping. Bisping's like, you would know nothing about prejudice. Let me tell you, as a white, blue-blooded English person, I will tell you about prejudice.
I get it all the fucking time in America. They don't like the English, I'll tell you that. They do not like the English. I'm fucking telling you that.
Nobody cares about the English in America.
Listen, anytime I tweet something, I get told to get the fuck out of the country. I take personal to that, okay?
Love it or leave it, Bisping. Fucking immigrant.
I love it. I pay taxes here, motherfucker, okay? I'm allowed to have an opinion. Simple as that. I'm allowed to say, hey, I love living here, but I'm allowed to say that's fucked. And then, oh, well, get the fuck out then. Get the fuck out, English, bro. Go have a cup of tea. 1766. All right, I get it. Whatever.
Real quick, because I want to, I'm sure we have a couple questions here. But real quick, let me just do a couple plugs. You love the show. Go to our iTunes right now. Just stop the show. Pause the show right now. If you're not already subscribed in iTunes, click the subscribe button. Take a moment. Give us a 5-star review. Give us a little bit of a rating. Tell some friends about the show. It really does help the show grow. Same thing on Google Play. Same thing on Stitcher if you're using any of those platforms. Also available on YouTube. The latest video episodes are available on YouTube as well. And if you guys want the entire on-demand library, we give away a 14-day free trial to GasDigitalNetwork.com. You get all the podcasts, including the entire on-demand library for this show. Use the promo code BYM to get that 14-day free trial. And if you want to join the conversation, you could always reach out. BYMpod@gmail.com is the email address. Send us fan art, questions, videos, whatever you guys want. We always love hearing from the fan base.
Yeah, and subscribe to YouTube as well. Tell your fans, tell your friends, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody. You said iTunes. I'm just saying YouTube as well.
YouTube. Listen to me. Is it because of the color of my skin? You just don't hear me speak. Is that what it is?
Oh, God.
My brownness?
Oh, God. Playing the victim again, Lewis. It's not attractive. It's not an attractive quality. There's people out there going through real issues, okay? And you're jumping on the bandwagon. Look at me. I'm brown. I've been through problems. You know, there's fucking people dying, Lewis. Have a bit of respect, brother. Let's go. All right, so notable mentions. First of all, Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern got back in the win column at the weekend. Beautiful victory in the first round over Hannah Cyphers. Went for a takedown. I think she ended up on her back anyway. Hit a beautiful knee bar. Of course, she's a high-level jiu-jitsu player. Hit a fantastic knee bar and, in fact, made a record. That was the first time a female ever successfully got a knee bar in the UFC. So congratulations to Mackenzie Dern there.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, overall, very nice to have the fights happening. That guy, Billy Quarantillo, looked fucking great as well. He looks like that guy Spike Carlisle looked great. That fight was awesome. Front to back, really, really fun fight. That was another one I thought that was notable. Did they win any sort of thing?
Yeah, let me talk to you about those guys real fast. Spike Carlisle, a lot of people find a lot of power in religion. They worship God and things like that. If you've watched the podcast, you know, I'm not a believer, but still, you know, that you do you. That's great. He is overly aggressive with the religion. You know, he speaks about it constantly. And he actually says that when he goes into fight, he's not fighting the person. He's not fighting Biren Quarantillo or whoever the opponent is. He's fighting his demons. And he's out of his mind.
I'm sorry.
It's not me.
It's mine. I apologize.
I'm like, who the fuck is making that noise? The ice cream van, phone, the walking outside, the looking at whoever it is in your house every 2 seconds. I see the distraction. I see the eyes. I see the lack of focus, Lewis. Don't think I don't know. And then you try and put the evil on me that it's my phone that's fucking ringing.
Get a grip of yourself today, Lewis.
It sounded like a metal table or a glass table. That's what it sounded like. Oh, I hate the fact that it was me.
I've upgraded to gunmetal furniture straight from Restoration Hardware. You have no idea how much this fucking furniture costs. Don't start on my furniture. Ladies and gentlemen, last time when I first started the podcast, got myself a nice glass table. Wasn't good enough. Listen to this. I put a fucking cup down on this table. Still, noise. There's always going to be noise.
It's a little thud. It's a little thud. No big deal. Look.
Sounds very tinny. Don't like it. Do it again.
Well, that's actually on a...
Do it again.
You know, one of these bad boys.
Yeah, we'll do it without.
Without?
Oh, God. Listen to the reverberation all around the room. Yeah. That's cheap furniture right there, Lewis.
That's a nice fucking table, bro.
Nice furniture is densely made, okay? It does not make that kind of noise. What kind of... Oh, God.
You know what it is? It's a cheap microphone stand that's making it. I don't know why I'm getting so defensive over my table. It's making me furious.
What is the material? What material is the table made of? The
table is made of this.
Into the microphone, please. Oh, it's wood. It's wood. Yeah. That's good. It looks nice. It looks like a nice table. But when you knock on it, when you rap on the door, so to speak, I've got to say the vibration isn't good. And the camera angle going back and up and down all around to the sound of the beast that get down is fucking annoying as well, Lewis. So stop with the camera malarkey. Okay. What else? So Spike Carlisle, Billy Quarantillo, tremendous fight. Fucking Spike Carlisle, man, came out the gates hot and fast. He said all week, I got one word for you, massacre. This fight is going to be a massacre. I feel almost bad for him. I went to the Performance Institute. I saw him there. I was training. You might have saw it on my story. He had his shirt off. Fucking hell, that kid was ripped. But a tremendous fight. What else? Harrington, what else stood out on the card? I'm just trying to think. Obviously, I worked it. But great fights, top to bottom. No? Okay.
All right, good talk, Harrington. So, yeah, he'll be here every week.
Yeah.
Obviously, doing heroin, apparently. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Sorry, I was checking my notes. I felt like you guys covered just about everything except for Caitlin Chookagian, who had a dominant performance against Antonina Shevchenko.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that. She definitely deserves a mention, even though we had that joke back in the day that she didn't pay a bar bill, which apparently she put all on me on Ariel Helwani's show and said, no, it was Bisping that never paid, but whatever. Or apparently I was drunk, said, hey, I'll get it, don't worry. No, fucking Chookagian, man. That was amazing. Antonina Shevchenko, Valentina's sister, very tough opponent, took her down. Just you know, first two rounds, complete shutout. Third round, Shevchenko did a lot better, but there was no stopping Chookagian on the night, Lewis.
Yeah, good for her. And yeah, that's really that. I don't know.
That was a great analysis. Fucking stellar work,
buddy.
Watch the
fight. Yeah, she won. Good for her.
Did you watch it?
No, it wasn't main card, right?
No, it was. It was the opening fight on the main card, I believe.
No, I guess I missed it.
Oh, no. It was the prelim headliner. My apologies.
Did not watch it, but yeah, good for her. Good for Caitlin. I like the fact that she gave you the business in the Ariel Helwani show. I'm forever a fan of hers because she didn't take your shit. So
hey, anyway, I like to watch her fight. She's amazing. Shout out her coach Mark Henry as well. Talking to him in the waking great weekend. Great dude. Obviously, this weekend pay per view is on us once again. Amanda Nunes, the greatest of all time, without question, when it comes to the female fighters. She'll be defending her belt at the weekend. We'll get into that on the next show. Before we head off, Lewis, is there any questions? Now, a guy keeps hitting me up on Instagram saying, I've sent a video in. It's amazing. I did this. I did that. Blah, 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 blah. So I said to him, all right, okay. Email them again with the subject title, Bisping said to play it. Brian, did you receive this email? Did he give that title? And if so, how bad is the video?
I have not seen that in a subject line looking through the emails right now. So I have no idea. But
fair
I
enough.
Do have one from Dallas Singer. That's if you guys
okay.
want to see that.
Let's go, baby boy. Dallas Singer.
Our old friend Dallas. I would love to hear from him. Nice hair.
What's up, Mike, Lewis, Harrington, Dallas, and Delilah? Staten Island, New York. Got a question for Lewis. About a month or so ago, Ari Shaffir was on the Joe Rogan Experience, and your name got brought up somehow. He was talking a lot of shit about you. He was breaking out a video of you slapboxing someone else, talking a lot of shit. And then I see you guys at that all-male comedian lunch, sitting next to each other, taking a picture, which I thought was pretty cute. But would you consider fighting Ari Shaffir at Ellis Mania, Skankfest, to go 2-0 as a professional mixed martial artist? I got my money on the Puerto Rican rattlesnake. What about you? I think that's
the cutest little fucking girl. Holy shit, that's cute, baby.
Bisping, you're a legend. One of my favorite fighters. You're the champ forever. But you just gotta accept it. Baby boy and doggy, they're just part of your vocabulary now. Gotta accept that shit, baby boy.
Fucking
you know
edit this bit out. Turn this off. Fuck this guy. Not the baby, though. She's accused of. She yeah, don't clap
right,
your
guys,
dad.
Fuck Harrington. Peace.
Fuck Harrington. Peace.
No, thank you very much for the video. Dude, that little kid, she was awesome. My God, what a beautiful little baby.
I'm still waiting for Bisping to slip up and say baby boy during a UFC broadcast. It'll make me so happy. It's coming.
Listen, baby boy is not a part of my vocabulary anytime other than doing this podcast. For said reason that, you know, it's become kind of a thing. If I say it on a UFC broadcast, it's not a slip up. It's a purpose drop.
Purposeful drop. Give the believers a little bit of a wink and a nudge the next time you're commentating. Okay.
On June 20th is my next commentary. I will drop a bow, 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 baby boy on air. I will do it. And I'll also go into a 5-minute ad read on air. If you love the show, tell your friends and family, go to iTunes, leave us a fucking 5-star review. Tell your friends, because that's how we know. I'll also talk about Naked Energy. I'll
Are
talk about CBD and D.
So right's for you.
Hey, listen, thanks for the question. Lewis, so you... Ari Shaffir, you're in an enclosed environment. There's no way out. It's you up against him. He's ripping his shirt off. He's been lifting weights. You know, he's looking angry. He's got a lot of anger to take out on somebody. You know, he's getting blackballed because of the Kobe Bryant comments.
He
wants to take them out on your face. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you see this battle going down?
Well, I'd destroy Ari Shaffir. I think the question was, would I do it? I would love to fight Ari Shaffir at anything, an Alice Mania, Skankfest. But Ari Shaffir, he's a weak pussy, and there's no way that he would have the testicular fortitude to get into a cage, ring, back alley, or anything with me. Ari Shaffir likes to throw those little shots because he knows that I'm not there to defend myself.
Okay, fair enough. He's not a fighter. He's a comedian. That's okay. And unfortunately, and I'm not trying to stir the pot or talk shit, if we're talking about fighters and we're talking about comedians, there's one name that springs to mind. Brendan Sharpe, for charity, Skankfest. You and Brendan Sharpe, would you do that, baby boy?
For charity, 100%.
Yeah? Set it up. Your people reach his people. Set it up. I would love to see Brendan Sharpe pounding your fucking faces. This is not Harrington. This is not Harrington in the basketball court with his shirt off and the boxing gloves on and you're just beating him up and being a bully. Okay? Right? Brendan Sharpe knocked out Mirko Krokop. I would pay good
an aging,
money.
An aging Mirko Krokop. I'm on the upside of my career right now. 2-0 already, by the way, in mixed martial arts. Brendan Schaub, look, I have nothing but respect for his career. What he did in his time in the UFC to come in and fucking have a bunch of huge wins, knock out a legend like Mirko Krokop. I mean, wow. Very impressed.
Okay, never mind that.
I'm undefeated.
All right, listen. The guy who sent in the question brought up this topic. Excuse me. Let's go through some comedians. And I need a quick prediction on the fights.
Go ahead.
You versus Big J, your friend. What would happen?
First round, he falls asleep from being fat.
Okay. Brian Callen,
he falls asleep from being too old. He just passes out in the middle of the cage.
Joe Rogan. Jiu-Jitsu black belt, but an excellent kicker, Taekwondo background.
I pick him up like a pro wrestler and I throw him into the front row.
Chris D'Elia.
First round.
Chris D'Elia. Massive height advantage, reach advantage, longer hair.
I would let him win just so I could hang out with Bieber.
Bieber? Is he friends with Bieber?
He was live streaming with Bieber yesterday or the day before.
Really?
I was like, Jesus Christ, how fucking famous is Chris D'Elia?
Fuck me, he is fucking escalating fast. You know, talking to Justin Bieber, I remember when I fought Brian Stan in Toronto, we went to a nightclub afterwards and there was a friend that I used to hang around with. He had some of his boys and some of his boys were like, a little bit gangster. And we're going into this nightclub and there's a dude outside the front, an old, like, middle-aged guy, not old, middle-aged guy, wasted, talking shit. He'd been thrown out of the club and he'd been punched in the face or something like that. And I think he had a bit of blood coming out of his nose and he's screaming at the doorman. And it was Justin Bieber's dad. And he's screaming, you don't put fucking hands on the Biebs' dad, okay? No. And we're like, oh my God, look at that. That's Justin Bieber's dad. And then one of the dudes that we were with, nothing to do with me, friend of a friend, he just went, fuck off, bang, and dropped him again. Shut the fuck off. And I was like, oh my God, get me fucking out of here. I was just co-main event in the UFC. I do not need TMZ getting involved when fucking Justin Bieber's dad's getting knocked out, allegedly. So yeah, anyway, comedians, who else we got real fast? I can't think of any.
Yeah, there's no tough comedians that are out there. And no, obviously I would never fight Brendan Schaub. Brendan Schaub's a fucking monster. All I mean, right. Maybe I would. I'm not like, what's the worst that could happen?
You get your ass kicked. You
know, who cares?
It's not that bad. Happens all the time. It's actually enjoyable. You still have an adrenaline rush. It will spike your energy levels. Okay,
it'll probably spike these podcast numbers.
Fucking Jack, we need all the help we can get.
I know.
Fucking set it up, you versus Brendan Schaub. All right, guys. We'll be back with another show later in the week. Be well, be good, be happy. If you're going to protest, try and keep it peaceful, you know. Try and deliver the correct message. Don't add to the problems out there. RIP George Floyd. And I guess that's our show, right, Lewis?
That's it. See you later, baby boys.